Media Boss, Matt Granite, Channel 3's Morning News. Will's Ways to Save is in. Let's talk about what we're watching, and maybe you're paying too much for what you're watching. Good morning, pal.
Good morning, Bill. What do you think the average number of channels the residents in Northeast Ohio watch? How many channels do we actually watch?
I'll guess 20.
Oh, even higher than I would have guessed. So I thought about 15.
Yeah.
And then the correct answer is we actually float between 6 to 7 regular channels that we go to time and time again. And
oh,
of
my
course,
goodness.
That counts movies and premium channels as well.
Oh, my. And there's hundreds on there we're paying for.
Exactly. That's the problem. Overpaying. So we're going to revisit today something that I featured on Black Friday. It sold out. I didn't actually have a chance to get into it, but I'm excited that we can talk about it briefly today because it is back in stock.
All right.
It's a one-of-its-kind live box. And what this box does is it unlocks more television channels, movies, and TV shows, including Channel 3, than any other box. So if you've gone the antenna route, this is, again, a way around that. If you want to watch live sports, this is a way around that. There's no monthly fees. There's no subscription. All you need is an internet connection.
And you're going to save money.
You're going to save money. With the average cost of a cable bill in Northeast Ohio between $150 and $300, this has $0 in monthly fees. And, of course, your Netflix, your Prime Video, all of your other favorite apps all work in tandem with the live box.
Okay, how much?
One-time fee, $80, down from about $160. Keep in mind there are a lot of knockoffs of this. The deal I found is, of course, legit and authorized.
Good stuff. The Deal Boss, Matt Granite, Channel 3's Morning News, Will's Ways to Save. Watch him there this morning. Back here tomorrow with some more savings. Thanks, pal.
Awesome.
Cleveland's News Talk and Sports, WTAM 1100, can also be heard from 480 north to the lake on 106.9 FM. Find WTAM, Cleveland's News Radio, AM, FM, your smart speaker, or on the free iHeartRadio app. Coming up in 5, Bill Zimpfer will join me. We're paying an average of, what, 215 this morning? Overseas, the nation of Qatar is pulling out of OPEC. What that may mean at the pump. That story and more with Bill coming up in 5 on News Radio, WTAM 1100. 5:15, Mike Snyder Sports, mornings 15 and 45 past. Who's this guy? And they got to win, huh?
Yeah, how about this, Bill? You know, they squandered an 11-point lead with just over 4 minutes to play, tied with the Nets with less than 10 seconds to go. They had the ball. Here's what happened.
Everybody standing inside Barclays Center, down to 6 seconds. Burks heads to his right, behind his back, down the lane, he thunders home, a 2.
For your day, price of gas could be affected by some news Bill Zimpfer has for us this morning. Hi, Bill.
Hey, Bill. Yeah, this week will tell us a lot here. Yesterday, an interesting development when Qatar, one of the OPEC members, announced they were withdrawing from the oil cartel, and their minister said the move represented a technical and strategic change and was not politically motivated. However, when you look at the situation, Qatar has been the subject of a trade and transport blockade that was put into effect by Saudi Arabia, the UAE, Bahrain, and Egypt over a year ago. So politically motivated? Most probably yes. Could this have an impact on the global oil market? Well, Qatar is not a big player as far as oil production goes. They do control about 30% of the world's liquefied natural gas. So in that avenue, they are a player. But what this could signal, Bill, is a little bit of unrest among the smaller members of OPEC because they fear that everything is now being controlled by Saudi Arabia and Russia. They have developed a new alliance here, and even though Russia is not a member of OPEC, those two countries control the majority of the world oil production. This will be interesting to watch now, and OPEC will be holding meetings in Vienna on Thursday. At that time, they will talk about production cutbacks. We could see gas actually go up in time for the holidays. Not good news.
Bill, one other story that we'll see more about over in Europe, Great Britain and Brexit. They had a vote on this thing. It's hung up in the courts or what?
Well, we have a breaking story on that this morning. The Advocate General of the European Court of Justice says British government can unilaterally stop the Brexit process. The UK had said that it would require the agreement of all 27 remaining EU member states. Now, what this does is just kind of throws another wrench into the ongoing process because we're in the midst of 5 days of debate by Parliament on Theresa May's Brexit plan. A vote is scheduled on that plan for next week, but this gives them another option, saying that, look, we can get out of this if we decide to and hold a second referendum if need be. So it's a little more confusing right now, and at present, Parliament is debating this, and again, that vote is coming up next week. In addition to that, Bill, should this vote fail, Theresa May's political future is in serious jeopardy.
Bill Zimper this morning. Bill, thanks much.
You're welcome, Bill.
By the way, one other interesting note. German auto execs will meet today with top Trump administration officials to talk about possibly expanding more plants of German auto makers here in this country. Volkswagen, Daimler-Benz, BMW will be in talks at the White House today with economic advisor Larry Kudlow about possibly building more plants here in the U.S. Interesting. Time check 5:25.
Bill Wills, something you can tell somebody today.
This blockchain blockland meeting you heard about downtown, they're going to continue today. I was there for a while yesterday, and I tweeted as I walked in. I'm not sure what I was experiencing, but it's something. And it could be something really big for Cleveland down the road. Businessman Bernie Marino kind of helped envision this with a few people a while back. I mean, just a few months ago. And it was incredible what has been playing out at the convention center. Several thousand people there.
Absolutely. It's a reimagining of a city, of a great American city that was known for innovation in manufacturing when that was relevant. And as that's died down, it doesn't mean that we don't stick with manufacturing, but we have to really grab technology and run with it. And what John Donovan, president of AT&T, just told us, we can do it. And that's the big message that validated the whole thing.
On your point, as I drove in from Rockside, the studios, I could see the smokestacks and things. You know, and coming into the convention center and then witnessing what's happening. And this is really a public-private partnership that came together within a few months.
Absolutely, you know? 6 months.
Yeah.
So imagine 6 months ago, this is just a glimmer of thought, right? And here we are where you have things. Beth Moody says this morning in her presentation, she says, if you don't like change, you're going to hate extinction. Right? And that's what the message is to Cleveland, is that we have to pivot, we have to embrace technology, and blockchain is the future. You've heard it from presenter after presenter after. One thing you hear from a car dealer from North Homestead, really, you know, what the hell is he now, right?
Right.
But when you hear from these experts, these world leaders, that this is a way to fundamentally reorganize the way data is stored, it's big. I use the example, it's like where you're holding your hand, it's just a phone.
Yeah.
Just a phone, right?
Right.
It's just a phone. I remember when the iPhone came out, you remember what people said? Oh, what the hell is Apple doing making a phone, right?
I have
a
phone. What's an app? What's
an app?
Yeah, come on.
Well, I have phones now. Why would I need a phone? And then we had Jeremy Gucci last night, who absolutely blew the doors off. You know, he talked about, and he showed an interview with 60 Minutes, where they're interviewing a Wall Street analyst who was making the crazy pronouncement that someday Amazon could be bigger than Sears. and Charlie Simon says, wait a second, you're telling me that two geeks are going to take down Sears robot?
Come on.
Right? And then he showed a slide. Yeah, they did.
Let me get you out here on this. I know you're busy. With any big event, there's emotion, everything gets going, and then what's next?
Yeah.
Is that maybe a concern of all of yours coming out of this?
John Donovan said it perfectly. He said, you've done a lot, but there's a lot more to do. And this has got to become a part of every organization's Cleveland's mission. We got to do it together. I said that when you and I talked first, right? This isn't a Bernie thing. If this is I said this 6 months ago. If this is a Bernie thing, it's over. Game. Let's just forget about it. This is now Cleveland's movement, Northeast Ohio's movement. Everybody has to play a role. So thank you for informing the public. You've played a critical role.
Appreciate it. Bernie Marino, thanks, pal.
All right, thank you.
5:28 Blockland Solutions Conference continues today. Coming up at 5:52 on this Tech Tuesday, Greg Stebbin, you hear Greg join me weekly talking about tech. He's here covering it. Interesting impressions of Cleveland. We'll talk more about it coming up at 5:50. First of all, you can get more Terry tonight, 7 o'clock, Barnes & Noble Woodmere, and tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, Barnes & Noble Westlake. Be there for an hour. New book, Brown's Blues, Two Decades of Utter Frustration. Great read, Mike Snyder. And we've got a podcast, Showgram, we're going to post next couple days. More about it.
Yes,
right?
It is. And more insights. There were things I know that, covering the Browns on a daily basis, Terry still found some things I had not even heard about before. So it's a great read. Yes, it is.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Our current Browns and the loss in Houston. You've had a couple days to think, scribble even more. Look, it's the Texans. They're pretty good, and they can show you your weakness as a team, right?
Yeah, they can. And basically, this is the first really rookie game for Baker Mayfield, and it was only a rookie half, but where you all of a sudden you go, who is he throwing the ball to? You know, I hadn't said that for a while, where that goes back to Deshaun Kizer and many other young guys. It's like, there's three guys there and none of them are wearing your jersey. Why did the ball go there? And most rookie quarterbacks have those moments, have those halves, have even a couple of games like that. So we've been, in a sense, almost spoiled that Baker hadn't had one, but there it was.
And Terry, I also think that Houston's pretty good.
Yes, that's exactly what, and they could do that. You know, Romeo Crennel, he had his weaknesses as a head coach, but there's a reason he always gets defensive coordinator jobs. Secondly, I mean, they're, that game scared me going down there. I knew that, that Dome would be rocking. They're playing well. And, yeah, to me, the Browns defense looks so slow. And I know Greg Williams is trying to, you know, spiff it up and say, well, we made him kick all these field goals and everything else. But my goodness, they were moving the ball at will for most of the game. And they would have scored a lot more points on the Browns, if they needed to. It would, they were overmatched in that game.
Yeah, Terry, I don't lose a lot of sleep over it. Nah. I think Baker will bounce back. I just think now, look at these remaining four games. Very mm-hmm. interesting home games, I think, with Carolina and the Bengals. Real opportunities for the Browns to win. I really feel if they could win those remaining home games and finish up, if it's like 6-9-1, I think that I'd be very happy with that.
Oh, that would be a terrific end of the season, the way it was going. And secondly, we need to see Baker Mayfield play in bad weather. You know, because if the Browns are going to be good and be a playoff team, you know, that means what? Games will be played in January. And so this is the first time he's be playing in, you know, December here. And, you know, he is at Oklahoma. They always say, well, we played a really cold game in Kansas or somewhere. You know, nothing like what they're going to face here. So that'll be a good experience for him, too.
Terry, you mentioned the secondary. They've really been hit with injuries.
Yeah.
That has got to be another area this off season that they look to bring on more talent.
I think the linebackers have struggled also. I know Kirksey's been hurt, but to me, Jamie Collins has been a real disappointment. And Schobert is excellent in coverage. He's not as strong against the run, and maybe that's because the other linebackers aren't that good. So when you play these better teams, they, in my mind, they just show the lack of speed the Browns have on defense.
Terry, Mike McCarthy fired in Green Bay.
Yeah.
Got any early feel one way or the other as far as Browns coaching?
I don't think he's going to end up here. I could be wrong. Some people are already trying to paint that as, look, remember Andy Reid ran out of gas in Philadelphia,
right,
went to Kansas City, revived his career, and he did it with John Dorsey. Will that happen here? I don't know. So I'll tell you this much. Whenever you get hooked up with a quarterback that long, at some point you probably are going to butt heads. I don't necessarily hold that against McCarthy, but I have to admit I'm not just all that excited about him.
Terry, put O'Cleveland, Plain Dieter, Cleveland.com. The Browns Blues, good read. Any Browns
yes.
fan on your list will love it. Terry will be at Barnes & Noble Woodmere tonight at 7 for an hour, and then Barnes & Noble Westlake tomorrow night at 7 o'clock as well. Terry, thanks, partner.
Thank you.
Great follow on Twitter, too, if you're on Twitter, at Terry Pluto. Universal Windows Direct countdown to kickoff, Jack Casino Sunday at 9. Carolina Panthers will be here at First Energy Stadium. So you get your lights up, tree up in the spirit. Got some great music for you, the best Christmas sound.
And now, 5 good minutes.
This is different, and I love experiences. News Radio WTAM 1100, this is Bill Wills. Greg Stebbin, our tech guy, we talk to every week about different things, is actually in Cleveland, and I'm with him right here at his mobile studio for Forbes Books, where he's covering our Blockland Solutions Conference. How are you, partner?
It's great, and you know, I'm in control here because it's my recorder, they're my dials, I get to decide how you sound. It's usually the other way around.
But I'll ask the questions, okay?
Okay, fair enough.
You were, on a personal note, you were last year for the RNC, weren't you, like
that's,
2 years
that's
ago?
Right. Yeah. That's right, yeah. We saw each other at the RNC.
Yeah, the RNC. Yeah. So you have been talking to a lot of movers and shakers. You're here covering this, so I just want to ask you, what do you think, what are you hearing?
So, first of all, you may remember that you were the one that told me about Blockland. And my reaction on a lot of... First of all, I thought, I am so excited. I think cities like Cleveland... Let's speak specifically about Cleveland. I think the fact that there are people in your city who understand the power of claiming something and saying, we are going to be the capital of blockchain development in the United States... That is such a brilliant move because they're reverse engineering something that's happened in so many other cities. So why is Seattle Seattle? Well, because Microsoft started there. And then Amazon followed. Well, why did Amazon follow? Because Microsoft was there, right? Same thing in Austin. You've got Dell Computer. And you can find other cities that have prospered and change the world because something started there, and then we have what's called a network effect. All these other people followed. And Cleveland is putting a stake in the ground and saying, we're going to be the capital of blockchain development in the United States to create that network effect, which brings companies, it brings jobs, it brings training. Then all those people have to eat at restaurants, and they have to buy homes, and they have to buy furniture. And it is one of the smartest things I've ever seen a community do.
I love your perspective.
And that's why I wanted to be here.
I love your perspective. Thank you. I said to somebody coming in, and I've already tweeted this, and I mentioned it a couple of times, as I was walking in and just absorbing, I'm not sure what I'm witnessing, and I'm not sure where it's going to go, but this is something kind of big.
It's more than kind of big. It is big. It is... If you remember the first time you saw the internet, and I've said this to you before on the air.
Yeah.
The first time you saw the internet, you didn't get it, and probably someone had to show it to you a few times, and then there was some application of it that made sense to you, and you used it for the first time for yourself, and then you began to use it more. Blockchain's evolution and integration into your life will be like that. You won't get it at first. You could spend all day today at this conference and still not really understand what it is. But at some point in the near future, there will be an application that makes sense to you.
Yeah.
The light bulb will go off, and you will begin to be using it over and over and over again. The bigger opportunity, particularly in Cleveland, is there's going to be billions of dollars of opportunity here in Cleveland because of this. In my Uber ride here yesterday, I said to the gal, she said, well, what is blockchain? And I said, do me a favor. I said, here's my card. Google, I want you to make a big pot of coffee, Google blockchain, and give yourself at least an hour to read about it. At the end of the hour, you're going to have a list of questions, and you're either going to want to answer those questions or you're not. If you're smart, you will have a list of questions and want to answer them. Just keep digging, but let your own bias guide you. Maybe you don't want to be a blockchain developer, but maybe you want to be a marketing person. Maybe
right.
you want to be a designer.
Right.
Maybe you want to own a restaurant that caters to all these wealthy people that are going to come here. Let your bias guide you towards how you can help make your city better because you became part of the blockchain ecosystem that will soon be Cleveland.
Our friends at Live Nation entertain us no matter the time of the year. Barry Gable, Live Nation, with me this morning for a couple of things. Morning, Barry.
How you doing, Bill?
I'm good. I got a list, but let me start with the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. Did I see you in Toledo with them a few nights ago?
Yes, you did. I was there on Friday the 30th. They started their Ohio run. From there, I was down in Dayton. They'll be in Cincinnati on the 14th, and then they'll make their way up to Columbus on the 26th and land in Cleveland on the 30th, and that'll be the final date of the tour. And the show is just amazing. Every year they just top themselves.
Barry, this has become really a tradition for so many families to enjoy the TSO, right?
You know, and when I tell people that this is a show for families and for people that are 8 to 80, I am not kidding. When I see the show, there's at least three generations of families that have made this their rock holiday tradition, and the queue will just be rocking on the 30th. So if you haven't gotten your tickets, you should make your plans and come on out and celebrate the holidays with Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
Two shows, right?
Two shows, 3 o'clock and 8 o'clock.
All right, they get you in the holiday spirit. Now let's warm you up some. There is some news about lawn passes at Blossom. Plus, we got Hootie and the Blowfish. Let's start with Hootie first. You're a fan of music. You're in the business. First, I was interested. Nashville really embraced him, you know?
He sure did. Darius Rucker's had an incredible career since he decided to take a left turn and leave Hootie and the Blowfish, but he's headlined. He's done whatever he needed to do to start a different career, but he's always been rooted in great, great songwriting back to the Hootie and the Blowfish days, as well as his Darius Rucker career as well.
I became a member of the Grand Ole Opry, and Hootie and the Blowfish announcing their first tour in more than a decade. So let me mention this, but I also want to get to a big announcement, too, because at Blossom, it's a great experience on the lawn, and Live Nation's got something unique here for me, right?
This is really something cool. It's going to happen at Blossom Music Center and 28 other venues that Live Nation owns around the country, and it's the first ever Live Nation lawn pass that gives you an unlimited admission to all of the concerts at Blossom Music Center. So this is for all shows. all even sellouts. So if a show sells out, you always have access to the lawn. You also get a lawn chair that you'll be able to have. You know, you don't take it home, needless right. to say. But this is going to be an incredible opportunity. The tickets for this will go on sale today at 1 o'clock Eastern time. And you can, the only place you can buy this is online, Bill. It's at lawnpass.livenation.com. And it's going to be while supplies last. So while we go on sale today, we have a limited number of these lawn passes that'll be available to sell. The deadline is December 18th, but it could sell out today or maybe tomorrow. Who knows? But you get a custom laminate and it has your name on it and a unique barcode. So you can't pass it around. It's basically just for you. And there'll be a ticket for you on the lawn. The day of the show gives you access, amazing opportunity, and it's great one-stop shopping for the holiday, that's
so,
for sure.
So you're telling me, if I got this right, the schedule comes out, but you're adding shows all the time. I'm already covered?
You're covered. Wow. So if we, like, for the Hootie and the Blowfish yeah. show, you want to sit on the lawn, you buy this for some of the shows we already have on sale right now.
Yeah.
But for the entire summer.
Fantastic.
Last year we had 29 shows. So, you know, I don't know how many shows we'll do, but if you do the math, you know, it could be like $10 a concert.
Yeah, great value. Again, that's lawnpass.livenation?
That's correct. Okay. Lawnpass.livenation.com.
1 o'clock today. Now, you also got Todd Rundgren booked for the Ohio Theater Playhouse Square May 5th, I saw, right?
That is correct. And tickets for that show are going to go on sale, I believe, this week as well. It's just an amazing lineup of things that are happening around town. We got Robin Trower. Carrot Top, the Happy Together Tour coming to the Hard Rock Roxino. You mentioned, of course, the Todd Rundgren shows. He's playing here in May at the Ohio Theater downtown at Playhouse Square. Michael Stanley and the Resonators, while he has the two shows at the Roxino, we're going to be going on sale this Friday for a show down at the Akron City.
News Radio WTAM 1100, Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. Breaking out of Columbus, Mike putting this together. We have known Urban Meyer's had some health issues. Sounds like that's what's going to force him out of coaching, Mike.
Yeah, the word right now that we're getting, the Columbus Dispatch reporting says the school has confirmed it. Urban Meyer's last game as head coach of the Buckeyes will be in the Rose Bowl against Washington. He will then step down. And Ryan Day, who actually took over as the head coach when Meyer was suspended to start the season, he will become the next head coach of the Ohio State Buckeyes. That's the latest report we have from Columbus. Urban Meyer's final game now. He's revealed that he's been dealing with a cyst on the brain.
Yeah, a cyst on the brain for a few years.
We've seen the actions, really, of him. Remember the game against Maryland? Every time they cut away to him. Now, it was a crazy game, but it was so demonstrative that he was having problems, and he talked about it from a previous game, that he would get these headaches and so forth, and that's what he was reacting to. So, until we, you know, we'll hear more from him, I'm sure, but it has been confirmed by the Columbus Dispatch that Meyer will step down after the Rose Bowl.
On the field, Meyer 82-9 in seven seasons at The Ohio State University, and 7-0, of course, against Michigan. Three Big Ten titles, and going to retire because of health and that cyst on the brain that he's got some concern about long term. Tickets for Jim Brickman, 8:15. He'll be in town December 26th. And the Cavs with a 99-97 win. Jim Jones' take at 8:22. All right, best team coverage of the Browns. Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. Fred Greetham follows him for us and with us this morning on WTAM 1100. Hi, Fred.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. A little more on the Urban Meyer story. That breaking here in the last few minutes. That'll be a big chat today. And, you know, when it comes to coaching, what a legendary career, of course. Sadly, health issues evidently making him say, look, this is enough. I got to move away. A name, though, guys, that was mentioned a few times in the pros, but he loved the college game. Right, Fred?
Yeah, absolutely. I already got messages this morning asking me about him with the Browns. It's like, no, I don't think that's why he's leaving Ohio State. So, yeah, it's sad news. You know, you know what, he's turned that program, you know, took it a step up, and now you just wish him the best in his health and his future.
Exactly. He's 54 years old. He's revealed that he's been dealing with this health issue. And, yeah, I think anyone that wants to speculate that he's interested in going to the NFL, that's not the story here for Urban Meyer. You know, Fred, as we talk about coaches, though, for the Browns, what do you think? Is McCarthy at all a candidate? And Arians? They are two guys that actually they could talk to, though, before the end of the season, right?
Yeah, absolutely. If he's a guy that that they want to look at. They don't have to wait and get into a game, you know, at the end of the year. But you got, of course, Elliott Wolf and Alonzo Highsmith and John Dorsey have history with him. And, you know, and he's worked with Ted Thompson up there, who is the personnel guy. So it really comes down to their view of him. But he's worked with a young quarterback. That was his history. And but then, of course, you know, whatever reasons that parted ways, most likely was because of their record this year. But he's got a good record. He's won the Super Bowl. He's won 125 games. And he would seem to be a, you know, somebody that would jump to the front of the list, you know, and the Browns' concern. They don't have to wait.
You just wonder, though, where he is mentally after the long run in Green Bay. I think that's one of the things. Is he ready for the new challenge would be a question I would have. And you think, you know, Fred, looking ahead for Green Bay, they, like the Browns, probably looking for that young mind, that offensive mind to come forward. I think we're going to see some competition maybe for some of those kind of coaches.
Yeah, it is.
And complete Cavaliers coverage now on News Radio WTAM 1100. Thanks, Vic. 99.97 Win. Last night, your morning Cavs update is brought to you by Levin Furniture, the preferred home furniture and mattress supplier to the Cleveland Cavaliers. Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside Jim Jones on the hotline this morning. Cavs legend, member of the 1980 world champion L.A. Lakers team. And, of course, you hear he and John Michael on the game. Morning, Jim.
Morning.
Look, I know that the Burks had the dunk at the end, 99-97 win, but guys, let's just start with Tristan, 19 points, and Clarkson 20 last night, right?
Yeah. They, you know, those three guys have been the surprise of the season. We knew that Clarkson liked to shoot, but he wasn't very efficient, and it was very reflective in his plus-minus after every game. But what Clarkson has done, he's minimized his over-dribbling. He's making shots even when he's contested. And finally, you know, he just fits now. It just seems like he fits in the style that Drew wants to play.
Tristan Thompson having a terrific season, Jim. What do you see differently with him offensively? He's getting those putbacks to go in this year, isn't he?
Yeah, his footwork has improved. He works with our big man coach, guy, I don't know Dan's last name, and I apologize.
Garriott? Yeah, John Garriott.
Yeah, he has been working with Tristan's footwork, Mike, and it's made a difference. Everything he shoots, if you watch them, nothing's off balance. He goes up strong, and he's playing at the rim. In the analytic world, the two things that'll win you games at the pace that we play now are making threes in open space and getting to the rim, not the paint, but getting to the rim. Tristan's stuff is at the rim. You know, he's in the paint, in the gut of the defense, and he's got this nice, strong drop step. He's got an excellent jump hook, and everything looks correct. And he's feeling a lot more confident. So I asked him about it, and he said, yeah, I get a chance to get him back. All these years, Mike, think about it. All this guy did was defend and pass. That's all he did. Now he's getting more touches. He's more involved in the offense. He's making decisions.
Entertainment news, names, notes trending this morning. Jason Nathanson with me. Let's start with a move of the Grammy nominations because of the death of 41.
Yeah, they were going to be on Wednesday, but because that's when we're going to have the state funeral and all the proceedings there, they're moving them to Friday, which is pretty unprecedented. I've never seen a nominations moved like that. CBS pretty quick to do that because the nominations are going to be on CBS. So we're on Friday, they'll be on CBS This Morning. Those are when the first batch of nominations are going to come out at 8:30 Eastern. You'll see that on CBS This Morning, and then they're going to have some of them on Apple Music at the same time as well. And then at 8:45, you'll see the complete list on Grammy.com. So they've been how they released them over the past couple of years.
Yeah.
Used to be a big nighttime concert type thing where they would announce them. They haven't done that in a little while, and they're slowly moving towards just, you know what, we're just going to put them out there and put them on the internet.
Speaking of awards, there's something called the Annie Awards for Animation. We got the list of nominees out?
Yes. And Incredibles 2 leads the pack with 11. Ralph Breaks the Internet has 10. So those are the two top nominee getters. So this is the best animated films, of course. And so those two are going to be up against each other in the category of best animated film. And also you see in there the film Early Man, Isle of Dogs, which is that Wes Anderson film from earlier this year, and Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, which I believe isn't even out yet. So that'll be in there, and they'll be competing. And this is kind of a preview of the best animation category at the Oscars as well. You can expect to see at least a couple of those in there. And also five nominations for Mary Poppins Returns, because it is live action. It's mostly adult live actors in right. there. But there is a little bit of animation, like there was in the 1964 film. So they got some nominations there. A little bit controversial because there's a question about what really is an animated film.
All right, entertainment guy Jason.
About him that
this is a bit of the view.
Really, because as a candidate,
Joy Behar and Meghan McCain.
Powerless to do anything about the greenhouse.
And they're talking about Bush 41, but somehow this thing got way off track, right?
Yeah, because Joy Behar brought up Trump, and McCain said, "I don't want to talk about Trump," and then Behar snaps back at her, "Excuse me, I want to talk about the differences," and the two kind of got into it there. And if you'll notice, last week when everybody was defending Joy Behar, when Kid Rock called her the B word, Meghan McCain was defending her, and Joy got a little snippy with McCain. She was defending her. The two of them seem to, they just don't really get along. I guess they patched things up during the commercial break, but I mean, they were going at each other for a little while there.
As you can hear, yeah.
Yeah, and back and forth, and then the two of them, obviously on different political sides, although they seem to agree when it comes to President Trump on most things, that they don't like him. Of course, Meghan McCain being the daughter of John McCain.
Right.
And the two of them, President Trump and John McCain went after each other. So, there's a history there, but Behar and McCain can't seem to really get on the same page.
The analysis from Jason Nathanson, soon to do political work as well. You never know, because entertainment seems to go everywhere, and so does politics in that matter. All right,
yes,
Jason, thanks, partner.
Take care.
You can see more of that view exchange at willsandsnyder.com. 8:50 now, traffic and weather on the 10s, mornings and afternoons. Here's Pat Butler.
From the Elk and Elk Traffic Center, if you were injured because of medical malpractice, call 1-800-ELK-OHIO. Still a icy drive in spots. Be careful. Earlier wreck still has the inbound East Shoreway slowing down in between East 185th and MLK. There's a crash being cleared up on 71 North at Fulton. A wreck in Solon on Aurora Road at 91. 77 North still slow from 480 up to 490. The Jennings North is jamming up around Harbor Denison. And coming up from Summit County, there's a crash on Route 8 North before Howe. This report brought to you by Frontier Airlines. Low fares done right at flyfrontier.com. Next traffic update in 10 minutes at 9 a.m. Pat Butler, News Radio, WTIM 1100.